Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
The number one job of an offensive tackle, doesn't matter right or left, is to pass protect. And so you need to be able to block their best pass rusher one-on-one. And that's, to me, that's the number one job. And everything we can get out of them in the run game will be gravy on top of it. But we got to find out who the best pass protector is, the most consistent pass protector is. And really, that's for all five guys up front.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is Ben Johnson from yesterday. And obviously the Bears are out there and getting stuff done. And we're talking about, I mean, this is a very interesting conversation because of what he just said there. But we're talking about the left tackle position because Braxton Jones is still out. And it feels like Ozzie Trapillo is making a move at that position. It feels like there's no pads on.
And we can read way too much into these mini camp practices context.
Yes.
But I wanted to ask you about what we just heard from Ben Johnson because it stood out to me, and I don't know if I'm overreacting to it because it is a new coach. We're learning his cadence, his rhetoric, and his approach, right? That's why we watch him at practice, and everything he does is gets dissected, and everything he says gets parsed.
Yes.
When he describes the primary role of an offensive tackle, and here is a modern-day offensive coordinator and play caller.
Modern-day guy.
Describing the offensive tackle, he didn't say notice. He didn't say, well, he needs to establish, help us with the running game. He needs to.
No.
Remember the days when the right tackle was the road grader and the left tackle was the athletic guy and protected the blind side. And you drafted guys accordingly and you fit guys into their skill sets and their body types and all of those things. I think that when we heard Ben Johnson there, it made me think in how much of a rogue offensive coordinator Mike Martz was. But back in the day, he said, well, your left tackle is just like your right tackle. These guys are pass protectors. Didn't really worry about how they blocked in the running game. They needed to be athletic enough to be able to move and get to the edge rushers and all of those things. Ben Johnson, for a guy as wedded to the running game as he has been, didn't describe that guy there. Didn't describe the right tackle road grader and the left tackle blindside protector. He described left tackle, the number one thing, how do you protect the passer?
But if you listen to what he said that's every offensive lineman.
In his mind,
every position.
But he did, but especially it's more pronounced at tackles because the edge rushers are the hardest to block.
No question, those are where you put your best players because they can get, they can sometimes use their athleticism, sometimes use their power, but they can get past guys and damage the quarterback. It was a very interesting moment in that news conference because it is very much an offensive coordinator type of statement.
Yes.
It speaks more to the vision he has of the game than it does to the reality of the players that they are fielding.
It certainly does. You heard the same thing I did. But it also, as the head coach, it talks about the realities of your roster. Because Ozzie Trapillo was drafted, why? Well, we're all wondering why. Who is this guy from Boston College? How does he fit? Well, now it makes a little more sense. once you hear it more explained, or once you get into more of the core philosophies of your head coach and play caller, all they're looking for is pass protectors.
Yes.
And Heidi Trapillo is an exceptional pass protector. And early reviews from guys like Clay Harbor, or guys who watch practice and know what they're seeing, describe a guy that can bend, he's big enough, and boy,
yes.
Can you imagine him protecting the blind side of Caleb Williams for years to come? I wonder...
He's a large engulfing player.
That's a great word.
That is the definition of kind of that traditional right tackle, like just a building of a man that can wrap around somebody and, you know, also move them, I would imagine.
Even small, speedy edge rushers, yes. Guys who are tough to block. You yes. wonder if a guy like Ozzie Trapillo will have the feet and also just the girth and size to get in the way. I do wonder this, too. When you think of Braxton Jones, I don't know if you necessarily think of him in the same terms. You think of him as a guy that's pretty good against the run, getting in space and being a guy that can block downfield. I don't know that you think of him as your prototypical pass protector.
Well, I think he can pass protect. I think he is more of a prototypical pass protector. But he can be overwhelmed. We heard the coach talk about him. And talk about, like, you know, he's got to be able to set an anchor.
He said it himself.
He said that.
At times,
the player said that, yes.
Braxton Jones in years past has talked yes. about being bull rushed and that yes. being the thing you need to work on. That's not a natural, or that's not a guy or an offensive tackle whose strength is in pass protection. Ozzie Trapillo, I think, is different. That's the only reason it stood out to me, because I wonder if Ozzie Trapillo is gaining an edge because he was drafted to do what Ben Johnson just described yesterday.
Well, yeah, I mean, he definitely is gaining an edge, and he's gaining an edge because he's playing, because he's going to be able to show what he can do, because nobody has seen him do it. No one knows any faults that he might have. And the stuff that he's showing, mm-hmm. because it's not in live contact – it looks great, because look at the size of that guy. Look at the way he's moving. God, he seems confident. And you know what? He's getting in the way of all these guys. No one's getting around him. When you put the pads on, it's like a totally different game. And I'm going to be really curious. I think, to be honest with you, David, I think there's a couple things here. I think one is that he's doing better maybe than people have expected, and he may wind up being their starting
just looking more athletic
tackle. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I also think that Braxton Jones, because he's not able to play, because he's coming off a foot surgery, this is not a guy that is going to be able to really add to his anchor or get some bulk. Or, you know, when you're coming back from leg injuries, you kind of lose weight because you don't want to put as much pressure on. It is hard.
Well, you're off
to come, yes.
too long to add
yes.
that kind of bulk or strength. And I think that if that was his biggest weakness before, you wonder how he had addressed it or did address it in the offseason when he was unable to. So his biggest weakness remains that.
So, but then the third player in the mix mm-hmm. is Kieran Amagaji, who is effectively a rookie because he didn't get to really play much last year, and he didn't get any kind of chance to build himself up or prepare himself for the NFL. So he's coming from a lower level football conference
yep.
into the NFL, and he's still trying to figure out what to do.
Adjusting to the speed of the game.
And I don't know. I think that of all three of them, it's worse for Amagaji.
Well, it is, because I wonder, of all three of them, would he have been the guy, if Ben Johnson were here, that they would have drafted? I don't know that would have been the case. I just don't know. And that might be an unfair characterization, but I do think it was – it's well put, and I think it was something that stood out for those reasons, because left tackle is such an important position moving forward. The other thing that we heard yesterday, obviously, a lot of attention we paid during the pick six, was Cole Kmet got to the podium – and right. I think what he had to say was interesting, because of Colston Loveland was drafted, and I don't know that they went to Cole Kmet beforehand and said, hey, buddy, you know, you want to be on guard tonight. Don't go to any draft parties, because we're going to draft your replacement. But when they did draft his replacement, Cole Kmet was taken aback.
I think at first, like, you're taken back a little bit, but, I mean, Ben was awesome about it in terms of calling me right away and kind of explaining the decision. And, you know, from there, you're just all on board on it and, you know, kind of understand their vision. And, you know, you understand that there's going to be areas where we complement each other. And then there's obviously, just like in any position room, there's going to be areas where we compete for things, you know, and that's football, and that's how it should be. So I'm excited about it. And I'm excited, you know, to not only push him and then for him to push me, and we're going to make each other better. And, you know, I think the goal with it is to, you know, become the best 12 tandem in the league and see where we can take it from there.
Yeah, I there's a lot to like about everything that you hear from Cole Kmet. There's a lot to like about him as a player.
Mm-hmm.
And he handled that very maturely. But I do think that this was not a guy. Colson Loveland is not a guy that was brought in to push him or to team up with him. He was brought in as his own entity, as a separate sort of a guy that is going to be considered an impact player that will need to make an impact and will make an impact at the tight end position, much more so than anything we've seen thus far from Cole Kmet. And I don't want that to sound as bad as it does when I say it.
It sounded bad.
Thank you. But what I'm trying to say is,
I know what you mean.
When a guy is taken 10th yeah. overall,
he's here to be the show.
That's it.
He's here to be the number one target in the red zone.
Guy,
he's a featured tight end.
And they're going to use him and they're going to feed him the ball. And that is, they may be the best 12 tandem. They may be the best, again, when you have a 12 personnel, means you got two tight ends. If they are going to play a lot of two tight end sets, then he may be pushing Cole Kmet, but really he's the number
one
the
guy.
Of the two.
That's yes, all. And that's
and
why.
And it's not being mean.
That's why it's something for Cole Kmet, something he has to accept.
Yes.
And that's why
yes.
what he said yesterday is so important. This is a consummate professional, a leader in that locker room, stepping forward and acknowledging the fact that he was taken aback. It was a, he didn't say this, had to be a blow to his ego. Had to be.
Well, his career changes.
His career arc changes.
Yes, no question.
His role in that locker room can't change. He's still got to be a leader. But his role on the field certainly did. Mully, to your point. Yes, two tight ends. Everyone loves and knows Ben Johnson. There were only two other teams in the NFL last year that used two tight ends more
yes.
than the Lions.
Yes.
You know how many catches the second tight end for the Lions had last year in 17 games? His name was Brock Wright. He had 13 receptions. I'm just saying, that's not going to be Cole Kmet's production in 2025, but it's not like they have two tight ends on the field so they can throw them both the football.
Exactly. Yeah,
and especially when you draft Luther Burden III, and you've got Roma Dunze emerging as a threat and a weapon, and you got DJ Moore who needs the football.
I'm really curious to see. I Luther Burden's got to get out there at some point.
Same,
but
same.
I'm curious because they went out and they got a receiver from Washington who is like a really good slot receiver.
Olamide Zaccheaus has stood out for that reason alone. He's a good guy that fits in the slot.
Yes,
he's a professional receiver.
No question. And that's an upgrade. You know, I mean, honestly, if you were sitting here looking for guys that really need to get something done,
mm-hmm.
it's the former third or fourth receiver. It would be what did Dave call
Tyler
him?
Scott, little Scott
guy. I think he's in trouble here because of the fact that
I do too.
Not only did they draft one, whoa. But they signed one. And they've got a lot of them there. It's just not.
They drafted Luther Burden III in the second round. He's going to play.
He's
healthy.
He's making the team.
They signed a free agent that basically is a duplicate of Tyler Scott, just a grown-up, better version.
Yes.
Tyler Scott was here when Ben Johnson wasn't. That's what you got to look at.
Yes.
Yes, Ryan Poles was the GM, but everything changed when that offense was brought to Chicago with Ben Johnson. Now, DJ Moore, our guy, he also was behind the microphone yesterday. He also.
Yes.
Does he seem like he's a little playfully coy all the time now?
I think that, yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I really like him a lot.
We both
and
do.
I respect
he's
him
a great
a ton.
Asset every Monday and morning, 8 o'clock
yes,
during the season.
And I think he's a seriously good player, and he is their best wide receiver, and they've been throwing him a little bit of slot work, which is really interesting because, you know, he could also – he can hurt you in so many different ways. He's got the best yak on this team, and they should have good yak on this team at yards after catch. And he also is He's got like close line running back skills. I don't want to call him a running back, but they've used him in ways before.
I like the way you're thinking, because who is the second running back on the Bears right now? Manungai? Okay.
Yeah.
Braxton Jones or Roschon Johnson?
Well,
seen enough, haven't we? So I think DJ Moore could actually run the ball out of the backfield. He could be a threat.
Yeah, not
like a Deebo Samuel.
But I would hate to see that, to be honest with
you. Would
you? Too many times.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't, you know, the thing about running backs, more so than anything else, you got to be able to take those hits. You got to be able to, I mean, running backs get walloped, and it is a difficult, I still think the number two running back, maybe even the number one running back, is not yet on the roster.
I agree with you. I hope that that's the case.
Yeah.
I think that when you look at Dobbins still being out there, maybe Nick Chubb is a possibility. But DJ Moore, how will he be used in the Ben Johnson offense? That's a good question that he addressed yesterday.
It's fun, but intense. A lot of hard work goes into it, and you got to be on your P's and Q's, and you got to know the playbook. I don't know. You have to wait till the season to see. You can't give away too much because we're doing a lot right now. I'm throwing in a lot, and we're going to have to wait and see.
I like that. I think he's going to be a big part of it, though, because, you know, I'm on Raw St. Brown, and DJ Moore have a lot of similarities in terms of the way they can damage an opponent. And I think that DJ Moore can make
because of the
as
yak.
Many tough catches.
Because of the yak.
Exactly right.
That's it. And I think that you don't see their body types as being that similar, but if DJ Moore
DJ's a little bigger, a little stronger. Bigger.
Yeah. If he has the role of Amon Ra St. Brown, the, what he played in the Lions offense, if DJ Moore is that guy in the Bears offense, then they are going to be more dynamic and explosive because you can see and you have seen ways that he can hurt you. I would like to see him do more damage down the field, though.
You know, they can't get the ball down the field to him. Yeah. I don't even think it's his fault. It's like every time they throw to him, it was off the line of scrimmage. It was like some goofy wide receiver squeeze.
Sometimes he got so fed up he just ran off the field.
Oh, boy.
He also addressed that yesterday. It was fun to hear him.
He can't be a palms up guy.
No, he can't. Here's the body language comment.
How was it nipped in the bud?
How was it? Yeah. I just said I ain't going to do it again.
How was it nipped in the bud?
How was it? Yeah. I just said I ain't going to do it again.
That's how it's nipped in the bud. Hey, I didn't like this. Well, I'll never do it again. Okay. That sounds good. And he's a good dude. I think we both have a lot of respect for him and fondness for him. And he's a family man, and
he gets up for us.
God bless him.
He gets up for us.
He's a good man.
You
got to
respect the guy that gets up at 7:55 for an 8 o'clock interview after a night game.
And we've had a lot of guys over the years that didn't get up for us.
We definitely or got up for us, and then were in bad moods once they did. No names.
Oh man, no names. It's fun to see Ben Johnson. It's fun to have stuff going on with the Bears. But again, like, you know, the real money stuff is when you get those pads on and you start playing football. And it's at this point, it's fun, and it's fun to, you know, think about DJ Moore and how can you use him. And wow, now they got this crafty kind of inventive offensive mind, and he uses math and science, and God, he's going to be good. And then you look at Rome Odunze, and he's like a bigger, stronger version, different type of player, and think about how they can employ him, and oh, they got a couple tight ends. I think it's fun.
It was fun.
At this point.
It is.
To think about that kind of stuff.
It's all possible.
But man, like, you know, when those two lines start lining up and hitting people, that's when you're going to know if
that's when it's football season. But now it was just fun to project. And it was also fun. Yeah. I mean, you may not know what you're watching all the time with the new offense, but you know what you're hearing if you have a lot of experience listening to players talk. And DeAndre Swift yesterday was also, I thought he was impressive only because he looked like a guy who had heard a lot of the criticism that's been leveled his way in this offseason about the Bears not really having a running threat and needing a compliment. Here's what DeAndre Swift had to say about that.
As you hear it going through the offseason, the Bears got to get a running back, the Bears got to do this because Drake can't do that. How do you deal with those types of things?
What can I do?
The conversation, you know, I don't agree with it, but I want to know how you deal with it, the perception of it.
I don't really, I mean, everybody got an opinion. They're entitled to their own opinion. My job is to come in here and continue to work. And like I said, I'm excited for this season. I know who I am and what I'm about. So that's all. I was thankful for another opportunity going into the season.
What can I do?
What can't I do?
What can't I do?
I like that line.
I mean, I love that he's got a chip on his shoulder. And he's going to be running with an edge trying to prove something.
He's going
to
need some chip. And I'll be honest with you.
I know. You're not a big fan.
I'm not a Swift guy.
I know.
Okay? I'm not a Swift person, generally speaking. I'm rather slow.
But you are Swifty.
And Tim
you're
Whitted.
Swifty?
I am totally
We're
a Swifty.
Definitely Swifty. Okay.
You know that.
I know. Just let me clear. Want to be clear. Not DeAndre Swift, though. But you like a running back that reports to camp with something to prove.
I'm going
to
make you a bracelet during the break. We got Brad Biggs next. Biggs time with Mully and Haw on the score.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Brad Biggs. Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Mully and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Biggs A.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, we should start talking about the Stanley Cup final. No, we're not going there. What was your takeaway from yesterday? I mean, listen, Brad, we're sitting here. We've been going over a bunch of stuff, and it's fun to talk about. But I think we all understand where the Bears are in terms of the time of year and what they hope to get accomplished. I think what's interesting is just the idea that install still ongoing. They would probably already know – more than they did, but I'm sure there are still moments where you're looking at something and you're looking askew.
Yeah, I mean, I think the coach has been pretty clear that they've thrown a lot of material at the players for a variety of reasons. One, to see, you know, how they handle it. Two, hey, what do these guys do well? Like for instance, moving wide receivers around to some of the different spots, seeing, you know, where do I really think this guy might fit best for us? So Ben Jensen's talked about it getting better over the, heck, about 6-7 weeks now, where they've seen improvement and growth expedited a little bit in minicamp, maybe. Day one was yesterday. I'll tell you what, it was super windy outside yesterday, and the offense had the wind in its face for team period 7-on-7, so a little tricky to throw the football, but guess what? You can get Sundays like that along the lakefront at Soldier Field, which is where it seems like they'll be playing for a while now, right?
Yes, I think they will be playing there until they start to pick up and whenever they break ground in Arlington Heights, if that indeed is going to be the case. But, you know, they're not going to do it before the Chicago Fire, but that's a different story. Brad, what did you think about the way Ben Johnson described the primary objective of every offensive tackle, which is pass protect first? There was not – we talked about how that was maybe an offensive coordinator's way of describing the ideal offensive line, and every – offensive linemen should be preoccupied and prioritizing pass protection.
Yeah, it almost sounded like a quarterback coach.
Yeah, it did.
You know, I don't know about offensive coordinator. Maybe it sounded like a quarterback coach. I'm not going to get lost in him saying that or really spend a lot of time on that because I think a lot of people that really understand the game can tell you that part of maybe what made that Lions offense go, certainly a huge part of it, was the running game, right? I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
They were able to go at opposing defenses with that 1-2 punch, and it was super effective, and that set up a lot of stuff in their passing game. And when you look at, okay, well, what's a typical Ben Johnson offensive lineman? Well, you know, like he was the coordinator. He's not picking players in Detroit. They've got some nasty guys up front who can run block and pass block. So you're not going to see any run blocking at all this time of year without pads on, none at all. You're really not going to see – like people keep asking him about the left tackle battle and – he's come up with some creative ways to multiple ways to say, you know, we really can't even scratch the surface with that until they have helmets, pads, the whole nine yards on. And I think at some point, Braxton Jones certainly will enter the equation there as well. But I'm not going to pay a whole lot of attention to that, just knowing how effectively and consistently his offenses he's been involved with have run the football.
And to that end, you know, we heard from the running back, from DeAndre Swift, who, what can he do? I mean, it's the universal question. But I wonder, Brad, are they still short a running back?
Well, they're certainly short a camp body, I think, and whether they're short a back or not will be dependent on how they evaluate Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manungai and take – like Travis Homer's probably on his team as a special teams player, right? So how you evaluate those guys that are partnered up with Swift right now will depend if they're short a running back when you talk about – a decision at the 53, provided everyone stays healthy. But I think at the minimum, they need a camp body. Yeah, he talked about Swift, and who I believe with 2 seasons to together for them, I think, might have been three in Detroit before Swift was traded to Philadelphia. And he really talked up Swift quite a bit yesterday. Even right. talked about him lowering his shoulder to get the extra yard. Like, I'm like, well, that's not the DeAndre Swift we saw here last season.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe he was referring more to his willingness than his effectiveness, because in that situation, you know, there might be a back that could be better suited for that task.
How about the second tight end, Cole Kmet? What did you think of what he had to say?
I think Cole handled it well, as he always does. You know, I mean, he was put through a difficult situation last year, and I thought he handled it with class. When you talk about having six games last season with one or zero targets, a grand total of eight targets over the final six games of the year. By the way, he caught all eight targets. Like, it's not like they were trying to throw to him and he wasn't catching the ball. Like, his catch rate was unbelievable. He had 55 targets last year, guys. He made 47 catches. They just wouldn't go back to him. And I know everyone, you know, it's very popular to take Eberflus and Waldron and Thomas Brown and Kerry Joseph and blame all them. And they certainly wear a major share of that blame. But part of the reason the tight end's not getting the ball last year is probably the quarterback too. And I think that's, you know, because the quarterback's the trigger man. He's got the ball. It's not like there's a call in the huddle that's like, whatever you do, don't throw it to 85. So some of that's on the quarterback. So he was put in a really, I thought, difficult position last year and handled it with class the entire year. Like, you didn't hear Cole Kmet griping about not getting the ball. You heard him upset that the Bears lost their fifth game in a row. They lost mm-hmm. their sixth game in a row, et cetera.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Cole Kmet, but they did effectively draft a player that will be used differently than him, and there is still the potential for him to go through those kind of six games without many targets. I don't mean that as a joke. I'm just saying I would imagine that Colson Loveland will get a lot of opportunities in this offense.
Right. Well, provided he can kind of fit in quickly at a position that can be challenging for rookies, but there's still, like, you need a blocking tight end, and I think right. Colston certainly got the frame and the makeup to probably become a pretty solid blocker in the NFL, but we got to see it first, right? Because there's been guys with the frame before that, you know, it doesn't work out for him. But I think he's got the makeup to go with that frame to do it. But Cole's pretty good at that. And when you get back to talking about running the football, if they're, you know, they've got the two tight end personnel and they're going to lean into it, then to have success running the ball, to protect their offensive linemen, to protect their quarterback, to keep defenses off balance, they're going to need Cole and Colston Loveland to both be effective.
We're always looking for apples to apples comparisons, Brad, and trying to look at one scheme and plugging in players once the offensive coordinator goes to another team. In this case, Ben Johnson from the Lions to the Bears. And we talked earlier about how is DJ Moore the Amon-Ra St. Brown of this offense? Is that the role? I know he's a different body type at some points, but the different skill set in others. But is that ideally the role he would play in this offense?
Potentially. Yeah, I don't know that you can have an apple-to-apple discussion with them. I think there's this relatively significant difference between the two of them in terms of route running. Like, St. Brown is really, really proficient. And DJ's been super productive throughout his career, but I don't think you'd talk to people that would put the two of those in the same category in that area. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they want to deploy their three wide receivers with DJ and Rome and Luther Burden. And then Zacchaeus is a guy who's kind of interesting. Right. I think it was the first snap of team drill yesterday. I believe he was the guy that caught the pass, little wide receiver screen. Get it out to him real quick. I know there's some folks out there that it's maybe their least favorite play to see, but when run properly, can be very effective.
Yeah, I wonder, Brad. I know that that you're not too concerned about stadia issues. I'm just curious. Is there any buzz about the delays that have happened with the Bears and the idea that even if they are moving to Arlington Heights, they didn't get any of that any kind of assist that they were hoping for before the legislature broke up? Is there any just general talk around the team about waiting till September or about kind of going back to the drawing board or any thought about what will eventually happen?
No, I haven't picked any up like at the facility, you know, kind of there to watch football. Yep. It's not, I still think they wind up in Arlington Heights. Yep. I think it's more, I know it's more politics than it is football. And I know that they've owned that land in Arlington Heights for a long time now.
Four years.
Seems like, anyway. Yeah. Yep. And they wasted time and money and time that turned into money with the partnering up with the mayor who's got like a 3% support rate to talk about playing in the city.
Wow.
So,
It's true, though.
I don't know.
Not much restlessness you're detecting, even though I think that the Fire announcing what they did does put a little bit of pressure on the Bears to get going. And if the Fire breaks ground before the Bears do, that will be a headline. At least.
Are the Fire people out there? I mean, it's great for the Fire, but it's Fire.
Well, there
Brad,
are,
it's a $650 million investment.
There are
fire, it's pretty significant.
I know, which the owner's paying for himself, right?
See, yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's a novel concept.
That's right.
Novel concept. Great stuff,
great
Brad.
Great stuff, Biggsy. Thank you, bud.
Have a great day, guys.
This is our guy, Brad Biggs. Now, there's a man that doesn't like to talk a lot of stadium
issues. He started to drift.
You looked at me when I started asking that question.
Okay.
You were like, oh,
you know
no,
what's going on here.
I'm curious.
When you step further away from the football field,
right? But
you
when
get
you're
less
out
of
there,
his attention.
When you're out there, you hear stuff. He's talking
oh,
to everybody.
Oh, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I'm just curious.
No,
if
it's a fair question. I want to know, and we have discussed, if you're McCaskey and you are looking at this unfold, aren't you beginning to wonder why it's taking as long as it is to break ground on the land that you've owned for 4 years?
Yeah, the problem, I think, is that they wasted a lot of time with this kind of maneuvering as if they were going to cranes in the sky stuff.
Okay.
Like, I don't think that is going to wind up aiding them in any way. I think that dream has passed and they're going to wind up out there. And maybe they wasted a lot of time trying to figure that out.
Joe Mansueto did talk yesterday about his investment. He only talked to Gabe Ramirez on the YouTube channel for the Chicago Fire. We should listen to what he had to
all
say next.
We'll listen to that next. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
One of the things I always look at coming home to the city is I always look for cranes in the air.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is more evidence that the city of Chicago is poised for big projects like this now in terms of how other sports teams in Chicago find motivation through this effort. I will say this. I know that the Bears really want to figure out how to remain in Chicago. I believe that.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That's the mayor of Chicago talking about
the fire investment.
The 678.
Yeah, $650 million invested in a new stadium project. That was Brandon Johnson on Tuesday addressing that. Now, I'll say this, and it's not exactly going out on a limb here.
Yes.
What the fire did yesterday will affect the White Sox potentially more than it will the Bears.
Right.
Because the White Sox issued a statement that, hey, not so fast. They're still interested in developing that land, building a ballpark. There's room for two. There's room for two. And if they say that, okay, well, let's hold them to that. If a related Midwest, as you cringe, and I think you're cynical, and I understand that, Molly. Hey,
do you think I'm generally cynical? Is that what you're saying?
I did not say that.
No, I'm just making
I did not say that. But I do think that, okay, fine.
Yes.
They did issue a statement. Now let's find out what happens next, because I think if the next step is more alignment, deeper investment, and a better plan or a clearer path to building where the fire also will build and to claim dibs. By the way, you want to check that out.
Yeah, Tibbs, that was funny.
But Joe Mansueto, let's get to that because this is not insignificant. He talked to Gabe Ramirez on the Chicago Fire's YouTube channel, and I think this was a great interview by Gabe, always does a terrific job. But specifically here, Joe Mansueto explaining why stadiums should always be privately funded.
Where we're located, the 78 has not been developed. And so I think it'll bring a lot of energy, but it really reflects our commitment to the city. And personally, it's my belief that the way stadiums should be funded. They're very expensive, costly to maintain. And I really think that it really should be borne by the owner of the sports teams. That's where most of the value accrues. And so I thought it was the most fair way to do it. So we pursued that path, and it's allowed us to move a little quicker. You know, we don't have any partners. We control everything. So there's been numerous advantages, but really it's about an investment in our city that we all love and feel passionate about and really want to see it thrive in the future.
I love hearing it. Joe Mansueto, congratulations to you, sir. I think a lot of people agree with what you have to say. And we had a conversation this morning about, well, how much these projects cost and how much you have to put into them. You know, you can't expect everyone to be able to fund. Well, let me tell you something. Like, that's a guy. Yeah, if there were other people in town that wanted to put up $650 million, they might find it a lot easier to get their buildings done.
That's how you get things done.
That is exactly correct.
You have to be as proactive and aggressive as Joe Mansueto has been with the fire. And I think also there's some suggestions yesterday that, well, what about the tens of millions that the Sun-Times story did allude to and reported that it still will cost potentially the city or the state? I think if you're developing that land and you are building this structure and you are creating the kind of development in that part of the city, that's an understandable obligation by the city or the state.
That's the price of paying poker. They're building a building. We're going to help them with infrastructure. We're going to make sure that these things are arranged for them because we appreciate they're kicking in their own cash. They're not just looking to make it. There are a lot of people in the world, Mr. David, that want you to build them something, that don't want to build their own legacy. Mm-hmm. I prefer this guy. This is my new favorite.
This is building his legacy.
Town.
It is transformational. Yep. And it does say in big, bold letters, your move, White Sox.
Well,
it's your move.
I wouldn't argue with that at all. 312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. We're going to talk to the great Ozzie Guillen next. We'll get a chance to figure out what went right or wrong, what he thinks of Louis Roberts sitting out. We'll get to all that next. Mullion Hall on the Score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.